I have just a few thoughts I want to share with you that are developed from this story of Jesus and the fear that the disciples faced that day on the sea. And the first is, we must determine to follow Jesus no matter what the situation is or what circumstances dictate. I don't know how many times I have faced the wisdom of the world telling me what I should do, and I couldn't agree with it. I couldn't find any peace to go forward with it. And so I went ahead and did exactly what the scriptures told me to do, and everything worked out to the glory of God. It sounds easy enough to say, but following Jesus is not always our natural inclination in life. And as human beings, we tend to look at life and challenges and deal with them in our own wisdom, our own understanding, and our own way of doing things. The Bible clearly warns us against failing or falling into that way of thinking, of trusting man's wisdom when dealing with issues of life. From the prophet Isaiah's writings, God clearly tells us the folly of trusting in man's ideas. And he says in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, "My ways," God says, "my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And the writer of Proverbs says, "There's a way which seems right unto men, but it's the way of death." Proverbs 16, 25. And he says it as well in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Regardless of the circumstances we face in life or the storms that tend to threaten us along the way, there is nothing too hard for Jesus to handle. It's interesting to note that the disciples were intrigued with Jesus enough to leave their families, leave their homes, leave their work as fishermen and tax collectors to follow him. Each of them chose to follow him into the boat. And when they followed him, they got to see the amazing power of Jesus when he calmed the storm. Folks, I dare you to follow Jesus. I dare you to stand up and go against the world's philosophies, the world's dictates, the world's wisdom. I dare you to stand for Jesus against everything else that the world tells us is impossible to do or that it doesn't make sense. Stand up for Jesus. Regardless of the circumstances you face in life, nothing is too hard for Jesus to handle. Every day we have the choice to follow Jesus or not. When we get up in the morning, it's our choice. Am I going to follow you, Lord, or am I going to follow the ways of the world? It's our choice to allow the fruit of the Spirit to work within us and through us to make an impact, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people we meet on a daily basis. There's a lot of people with good intentions. I've met them in the Cowboy Fellowship. Good intentions, and they say, "Yeah, I love Jesus. Yeah, I'll go with Jesus. Yeah, I'll be a part of it." And then a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, because of circumstances, all you see is that Wrangler patch in the distance dwindling further and further away. There's a lot of people with good intentions concerning God and a relationship with Him. But like the old cliche says, folks, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You need more than good intentions if you want to experience the miracle-working power of God's provision, His providence in your life. John 8:12 says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" And as we commit to being followers of Jesus, no matter the cost, no matter the test, no matter the storms we face, we can and will see His faithfulness and His power working in and through us. Can somebody say amen? All right. Number two, challenges are inevitable. Did you hear what I said? Challenges are inevitable. The storm that rolled upon the lake was sudden and without warning. Even with Jesus right there in the boat with them, the disciples faced a situation they never dreamed they would ever have to face, and that was imminent death. From this story, we learn that the hardships and the unexpected battles of life are inevitable. Even we as believers and followers of Jesus, we are going to encounter troubles that threaten to overwhelm us and threaten to destroy us. John 16:33, Jesus said, "I tell you these things so that in me you may have peace." In this world, you're going to have trouble, he said. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this life, there will be times we will face opposition, hardship, heartache, trials, tests, and yes, failures. We will even make mistakes. But you know what? We're supposed to rejoice when we do that. What's that you say? Rejoice in mistakes? Yes, because you know what mistakes are if we are humble of heart and submitted to the Holy Spirit? Mistakes are education. Did you hear what I said? Mistakes are education. And I'll tell you one thing, folks. I'd rather see people trying to do something for God and falling flat on their face than just sitting in the bar drinking those little brown bottles. Did you hear what I said? I've met a lot of people that were babies in the faith and had a passion for God. And I watched them do some of the things that they do, and I think, oh, Lord, please protect them. Oh, Lord, help them through it, Lord. Yes, they weren't suave. They weren't debonair. Yes, maybe they had some issues in their life that were causing them to struggle and try to rise above. But folks, when the heart is right and the heart is submitted to God, you can rise above and be more than a conqueror in Christ. Can somebody say amen? All right. In this life, there will be times when we will face opposition. Sometimes we're tempted to think that when we're going through these tough situations, God must have forgotten us, or maybe he's punishing us. But what this story teaches us is that without warning, troubles in life will come because we live in a fallen, broken world. But in the midst of it, there is nothing that is too hard for Jesus to handle as we cling to him and keep our focus on him. This story teaches us that though challenges are inevitable, we can put our hope, we can put our trust, we can put our confidence in the Lord, and he will meet our every need, just as he did with the disciples in the midst of the storm that day. The third thing that I get from this story is that God is always with us. And even though we are guaranteed to face less than desirable or maybe some painful situations in life, this story teaches us that God is always with us. Jesus did not get off the boat and abandon his disciples when they woke him up. He was with them the entire time. We sometimes feel alone when things get tough. We wonder, God, why? Why, God, why? God told his people in Deuteronomy 31:8, he would never leave them nor forsake them. As New Testament believers, Jesus gave us the same promise in Matthew 28 and verse 20. I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 assures us, as New Testament believers, we can put our trust in him because God is faithful and does not break his promise. He is with us always. Fourth, I think about this every time I read this story. Why did they take so long to call on the Master? Why do we feel like we got to slug it through, battle it through ourselves before we humble ourselves and go to God and say, Jesus, have mercy upon me? We need to be quick to call out to Jesus. We don't know how long the storm raged, but it was long enough for the disciples to believe that all was lost and they were going to die. In my mind's eye, my imagination, I can see them struggling to keep that sail set, pulling on them ropes. I can see them grabbing the oars that the waves are ripping out of their hands, trying to keep the boat going forward in the right direction. I can see them holding on to the gunwales for dear life. And finally, in desperation, they began to cry out, "Jesus!" After they had done everything that they could do and wore themselves out in the meantime. Folks, I've learned now, I just cry out, "Jesus." I give it to Him. We have a problem, especially those of us that are of the male gender and we wear these lids. It's called cowboy pride. Hello? Enough said. Okay. When you're going through circumstances that seem hopeless or are at a loss as to how to move forward, call out to Jesus. God hears every prayer. His ear is open to those who will call upon His name. Psalm 66 and verse 19 says, "God has surely listened and has heard my prayer." We can bring every need to the Lord who cares for us, loves us, and as Jeremiah writes, has good plans for us and not plans for evil. In frustration and in fear, the followers of Jesus were doing everything they could do to deal with the storm in their life, but nothing was working. And I want to ask you the question, have you ever felt that way? This story teaches us to call out to Jesus before we exhaust ourselves in our own efforts. And when you're going through circumstances that seem hopeless or are at a loss as to how to move forward, call out to Jesus. Number five, and I'm going to close with this. God has authority over everything. One of the things that I'm facing as I travel and I meet so many different people is they want to know, well, what's your opinion about the Trump situation and the Kamala Harris situation in the States? And I tell people, I don't have an opinion. Because if you want to start an argument, just start talking about politics. I hear everybody complaining about our Prime Minister in Canada here. Did you know that God, he's there because God put him there? Hello? The Scripture says, "I alone raise up kings and I take kings down." What I want to bring across, folks, is that God is the authority, not Prime Minister Trudeau, not Trump, not Kamala, not the authorities of our land. There is only one thing that is a resource for us to rely on, depend on, and trust in, and that is the Word of God and the Word which God has spoke and sent forth. The Bible says He sent His Word forth and it healed them. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Colossians 3:16, I believe it is, it says, "Let the Word of God dwell within you richly." Folks, if we want to have the peace of God, if we want to experience the miracle-working power of God in our lives, we've got to let His authority rule in our hearts and our lives. We've got to let His Word be our instruction manual for life. And if you're doing it by the book, you can arrive in time, on time, at the right time, all the time, every time, with lots of time. Somebody say amen. Boy, you guys are Canadians truly. You're gone to sleep. The disciples were in awe that even the winds and the waves obeyed Jesus. Folks, there's a truth that you need to understand if you ever want to experience the miracle working power of God. As the creator of heaven and earth, God is in control. He is in control today, even as He was yesterday. There is nothing too hard for God to handle. We may not always understand exactly what that means or how excuse me, or how God uses His power in each situation, but we can rest confidently knowing that God is in control over our lives and this world. I love reading from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 5 to 7 says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, even though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting down, people may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light. I create the darkness. I bring prosperity, and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Folks, we're not at the mercy of the evil one. Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, the devil won't leave me alone. Oh, the devil's just chasing me. We are not at the mercy of the evil one. We have God on our side, fighting our battles, if we will let him. And in this story, we learn that God has authority over everything, and we don't have to live in fear of the storms that come our way. Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, he's saying to you tonight, do not fear, I will help you. From Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, we read how Jesus stood up in the temple long ago, and they gave him the scroll to read from the book of Isaiah. And he read these words, For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Folks, there's good news tonight. God is in control. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner. Do you feel like you're living in a prison? Jesus said, I'm come, or him who the Son sets free is free indeed. I've come to bring recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. We're living in a world today where blindness is a rampant disease, not just physically, but spiritually in our world today. But Jesus has come, and he's using you and he's using me to open the eyes of the blind, to help bring the good news of deliverance to the oppressed. Because of Jesus, we have access to God our Father. We have great favor with him, as well as the assurance of heaven as our home for eternity. And so I close this evening with this paraphrased exhortation of faith that the Apostle Paul gave us in Philippians chapter 4. He says these words, I ask you to rejoice in the Lord. Paul's here in spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. And he's saying the same thing. I'm asking you, rejoice in God. I will say it again. Rejoice in God. And let your gentleness be evident to all those around you, because the Lord is near to you. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And can I just ad lib? Not the things of this world. Whatever you have learned or received, Paul says, whatever you have heard from me or seen in me, put that into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, or whether living in plenty or in want. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and gives me the strength. In my God, I have my needs, every need met. And Paul says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, that's your word, Lord. And I hope that I have delivered it appropriately, correctly. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit right now that is in this room, that is within each of us, will, will give witness to the words that I've spoke. And God, that they would become like seed growing in the hearts of every ear that has heard me speak tonight. Father, I can't validate this word. Only you can, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I ask God that revelation will come, understanding will come, wisdom, spiritual wisdom will rise up as a result of what has been spoken tonight, what your word has promised us tonight. I ask you to take this church, this light that is in the wilderness, in the darkness, in this community. God, I ask that this light could shine forth as a beacon to the lost that you are calling and using each one of us to reach out to. Father, go with us, lead us and guide us. Keep us safe in your care. Meet our every need, we pray, as we put our faith and our hope, our trust in you. In Jesus' name.